Welcome to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Jason, I'm doing great. I hope you are.
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. We've got a lot to cover today, and you know, let's just get right into it. We're going to have a conversation centered around estate planning. And so often, you know, when people think about their needs and wishes, the rule of thumb is often, well, I want to keep it simple, and I want them to be smooth and simple.
Well, no question about that. You know, a lot of folks basically want an estate plan that simplifies things for their spouse and for their children. And I don't blame them. I mean that should be the goal of any kind of planning. And of course, the first thing I would should say about estate planning, because I think some people avoid it simply because they think of it as death planning, and that's something that. Why shouldn't we put that off? Because hopefully that's not going to happen for a long, 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 long time. So why worry about things like that? But the fact is that most of the documents that we do have nothing to do with death. It has everything to do with issues that arise where we need to rely on someone else to help us during those times of need. And so a lot of estate planning is life planning because there's no person who goes through life without ups and downs, and hopefully mostly ups. But the fact is that we all experience things that we wish had not happened. So one of the most important documents that I talk about to my clients is the general durable power of attorney, where we have an opportunity to appoint a person that we have absolute trust in to be able to do things on our behalf that we might not be able to do because of unforeseen circumstances. And yes, it's a just-in-case document. You hope it's never used. But the fact is that most of us at some point in our lifetime will need someone else to be able to do things for us. And quite frankly, with crisis planning, the general durable power of attorney is in fact the most important document that we have. And then, okay, so the next question is, do we have someone that we have absolute trust in? Well, for most of us, that's going to be our spouse. So, you know, we'll go from there. And of course, not everybody has a spouse. Sometimes we've never been married, or we've lost our spouse through death or divorce, and we're single. And so hopefully there is a child, not necessarily the oldest child, but the child, and it not necessarily the child who lives near us. But hopefully there is at least one child that we can depend upon and know that they're not going to take advantage of us, and they're not going to take advantage of their siblings. You know, it's unfortunate, but there are lots of folks who are greedy. And we hope it's not our children, but sometimes it is. And we have to acknowledge that and know that and recognize that a person like that is not a person that we would want to appoint. And, you know, not everyone is an effective agent. It might be that they're not good with managing money. They're not good with paying bills. They're not, or they spend too much money. You know, they're spendthrifts, if you will, or they're married to a spendthrift, or, you know, there are lots and lots of reasons why a particular person might not be an appropriate agent to appoint. But when we're talking about an agent for a general durable power of attorney, we need to ensure, at least in our own mind, that it's a person who is trustworthy and reliable. And those are key ingredients. I hate to say it, but 80% of the financial abuse of seniors is by family members. The other 20%, scammers and the like. But the fact is that the greatest amount of financial abuse is by greedy children. And so, you know, what are they doing? It's like they're still expecting the parent to support them, and or they're stealing from them. You know, sometimes it's a drug habit. Sometimes it's something, you know, it's just a matter of greed. And it's unfortunate. It's unfair. And frankly, the sad part for me is the fact that in most cases where it's a family member, the families are unwilling to prosecute, you know, because truthfully, those folks should go to jail for it, because there's, I mean, what's the difference between that and somebody mugging you off the street and stealing from you that way? I mean, this is, it's still stealing. So anyway, now, of course, the other document that's a life document that's so important is a healthcare power of attorney. And of course, that can be needed for someone that's young, just like it can be used and needed for someone that's older. A lot of parents don't realize that when their children turn 18, they no longer have the authority to make healthcare decisions for their children at that point, unless their child has signed a healthcare power of attorney appointing one or both parents as their agent to make healthcare decisions if they're in an accident or the like. So those are the kind of things that people need to be aware of. So putting off estate planning is the wrong way to go, is what it boils down to. Now, there is a matter of most of us want to control where our property goes, how our property goes, when it goes, if you will, in terms of what we've been able to acquire during our lifetime. It's important to most of us where it goes upon our death. And, of course, a lot of folks don't realize that if they don't have a will or they don't have a trust, then the state of North Carolina, if they live in North Carolina, has a distribution plan for them that's not necessarily what they would want for themselves. A lot of folks think that if they don't have a will, then everything is going to go to their spouse and then equally to the children. And quite frankly, that's not the distribution plan of the state of North Carolina. So what I'm getting at is that's not necessarily the way to go. And then another thing that's happened far more recently is the fact that when you go to the bank, or you have an investment through an investment advisor, they want you to sign a beneficiary designation. Now, clearly, beneficiary designations are appropriate and important for two types of assets. Your life insurance policies need a beneficiary designation, and your retirement accounts need a beneficiary designation. And of course, when you have a beneficiary designation, it goes outside of your probate and court administered and the like. But the question is, should you actually have that for bank accounts and investment accounts? And for some folks, the answer is it's okay. And for others, it's exactly the wrong thing to do, because if there's any kind of complicated plan that you might need, then a beneficiary designation almost always destroys the plan that you have in place, whether it's a tax plan, you know, for income tax purposes or estate tax purposes or generation skipping purposes. It'll destroy that. If you have remarriage restrictions in your planning or any of those kinds of things, the beneficiary designations can mess up a really good plan. Let's put it that way. So sometimes they're appropriate, sometimes there's not. But oftentimes bankers and investment folks think that beneficiary designations are appropriate in every case. And of course, it is one way that if you have a trust or a more complicated plan, you can use a beneficiary designation to your trust as opposed to a particular person. So there are lots of different options, but I get simple, and I'm all for simple when simple is appropriate. But oftentimes, people don't realize that they have options. And if they knew the options, they would take the options. And that happens with lots of my clients when they come in, and the first thing they say is, "We want simple." And I say, "Not a problem." Because we do simple lots of times for folks. But at the same time, it's, do you want something else? And do you realize that you can have it? And when folks realize that there are things that they can do that they didn't know they could do, they embrace that very quickly. So it can, and it can still be managed simply, but it's not necessarily everything directly to my spouse and equally to our children. You know, the fact is that as much as we want simple to be the case, most families aren't that simple anymore. You know, there's lots and lots of complications in families these days. And if, you know, and it's not necessarily fortunate or unfortunate, it is just the way it is. And so there are lots of different scenarios where some good estate planning can make a huge difference for families.
Understanding what's available to you and understanding, you know, what you want out of your plans, and that there may be multiple different ways to carry that out. That's why it's really important that you schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. If you've never done that before, if you've had documents and never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go to WGALaw.com. From there, you can schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information there at WGALaw.com about their free webinars and seminar. Those happen the second Wednesday of every month. The next set of webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, November 13th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, deals with Medicaid, VA benefits. Also, if you're interested in learning about asset protection and trust planning, there's another webinar dedicated to that subject. And the evening of the 13th, there will be an in-person seminar at Independence Village of Old Raleigh covering legacy planning. All three of the two webinars and the in-person seminar are free to attend. There's no cost associated with any of them. All you need to do is register in advance. You do that by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button, or by calling the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to find information about Bill and WG Alexander and Associates. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or find information about their free webinars happening on Wednesday, November 13th. You can choose from the two webinars or the in-person seminar happening that day in the morning. It is the webinar dedicated to long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. In the afternoon, there's a webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. And in the evening, it's the in-person seminar dedicated to legacy planning. Find more information and register for free to attend by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and Bill, we're talking about wanting to keep it simple when it comes to estate planning.
Well, and of course, sometimes that is exactly what folks should have. And there are a couple different ways of accomplishing simple. Now, if you have, you know, a traditional family, traditional marriage, you've been married forever, your children are your children, you and your spouse that've been together forever, and you don't have any strays out there. Generally, in a family like that, the first death is actually very simple. Oftentimes, we don't even need to probate anything as far as the will is concerned. Particularly when folks have their property all held with rights of survivorship to their spouse. But of course, at the second death, it does in fact become far more complicated. And of course, there are a lot of folks that want to make it, or they want to simplify death planning for the benefit of their children. And so one question is, the best answer is, do you want to use a revocable trust to keep it simple for your children? So they can save time, they can save money, and the property can be distributed very quickly after the second death of the spouses. And of course, a trust does that. In fact, I did one today where basically everything is distributed to the children from the trust at the second death, and it makes it so much easier, particularly when there are any complicated resources or assets. Or if there's out-of-state property, that a trust is very useful under those circumstances, so you don't have probates in two different states, which can be horribly expensive. Or if you have a business such as an LLC or a corporation, or you own certain types of property, and of course there are a lot of folks that have cryptocurrencies and things like that that can be far more complicated if you are going through a court-administered estate. And, of course, a trust can simplify that, make things faster and much less expensive for the distribution of property, particularly at the second death. But then the fact is that families are more complicated today, and sometimes simple is not really in the best interest of the family. But that's a decision that you make. It's not, for me as a advisor, I can tell folks what they can do, but they have to decide what they want for their family in order to put that in place. And so, okay, so you start out, and it's like, okay, Bill, I want simple, and frankly, I'd like everything to go to my spouse and then equally to our children. That's pretty straightforward and fairly simple. But what if, okay, what if, and this is not uncommon, that your spouse has never managed your property, never paid the bills, never managed any of the investments. You've always done it. Or it might be the reverse, where your spouse has always done it, you've never done it, and you don't have a clue. Well, it's the kind of thing where, this is the kind of thing where educating yourself or educating your spouse can be extremely important. I know for me, because I have a pretty complicated situation in terms of having to not only take care of our personal bills, but our law office issues. And also I took care of everything for my mother. I took care of everything for my brother. I took care of a family partnership. I took care of a trust for a lady down on the Outer Banks. So the bottom line is I had a lot of different pots of things where I was responsible for it. And so I basically hired my wife as my bookkeeper. Now, after about 10 years of it, she said, I quit. But the fact is that at least she knew all of those different things that needed to be done. So I have less to worry about if I should die first. But the fact is that a lot of folks don't do that. They don't take the time. So it's the kind of thing where if that's the case and your spouse would be a fish out of water if you die and wouldn't know what to do, it may be that you want to create a trust to call on one or more of your children to step up and take care of those kinds of things for your spouse. But then again, you may have a different situation because as we get older, we also become more frail. We become more forgetful. And there comes a time because as a married couple, our goal is to take care of each other and stay at home together, right? In other words, neither of us want to go to a facility, and even when we're diminished and frail and using a cane or a walker and the whole bit, the goal is still the same. But then the question is, okay, when the first spouse dies, can the other spouse manage? And sometimes it's a diminished capacity issue. So in a case like that, should you have a trust? And the answer is almost always going to be absolutely you should have a trust where you can name your reliable child or a reliable, trustworthy person who can manage things for your spouse upon your death. It also gives us the situation where oftentimes, whether it's a diminished capacity or it's just a frailty or other issue, that when one spouse dies, sometimes the other spouse will need facility-based care. And again, a will-based trust, what we call a testamentary trust, can be the perfect solution because we can, under federal law, create a testamentary trust that makes everything in that trust non-countable for Medicaid purposes, with no five-year look back and no limitation on how much property can go into the trust and the like. So it's the kind of thing where if we know in advance that it's likely or potentially possible for our spouse to need facility-based care upon our death, what we call a supplemental needs trust, where the spouse is the sole beneficiary of all of the property that y'all have acquired during the marriage, is the perfect solution, because that spouse would not be capable of managing the property at your death anyway. So it's the kind of thing where it just makes sense to do it that way. And if you're both in a situation where you need the children to step up to help take care of you, then both of you should have this kind of testamentary trust that will take care of the survivor. And there are good ways of accomplishing that through trust-based planning. And sometimes we create a revocable trust, joint revocable trust, and pour it over into a will-based testamentary trust for Medicaid and other benefit purposes in order to protect the assets, protect the spouse, to make sure all the needs are met. And then at the death of the second spouse, everything can be distributed to the children without any other issues involved.
If you would like to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney, you can go to WGALaw.com, WGALaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with an expert. You can find information at WGALaw.com when it comes to booking an appointment. You can find information also that relates to their free webinars and seminar that are done the second Wednesday of every month, as we are just about to head into November. The next set of webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, November 13th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, or if you're interested in attending the webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning, or maybe you want to meet Bill in person and you want to go to the in-person seminar happening the evening of November 13th at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. That is going to be a seminar dedicated to legacy planning. You can find more information about all three at WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button to find more information. A quick break and back. You are listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to find information about WG Alexander and Associates, the team there, and the many services that they provide. You can also find information at WGALaw.com that relates to their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, November 13th. You can find more information about the in-person seminar that evening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh covering legacy planning, or you can find information about the two webinars covering long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. All three are free to attend. Just go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button for more information. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and Bill, we are knee-deep in a discussion related to estate planning, and you know, on the onset, a lot of us think, well, I just need simple planning. But as we begin to analyze things, sometimes simple may not be enough to get everything done that we want.
Oh, no question about it. In fact, a very common complication is one where we have children we are divorced, or we lost our spouse to death, and we're looking at remarriage, or we're already remarried for the second or third or fourth time, and we have children by previous marriage, and oftentimes our spouse has children by previous marriage as well. And so it's a question of, how do we protect the inheritance of our children while also doing what we want to do for our spouse? Well, that's a two-headed monster, first of all. And quite frankly, in every case like that, where there's children by previous marriage, where we have a loving relationship and we want our children to inherit what we have, which is very, very common. I mean, that's the norm, quite frankly. Well, we need to have two things. First of all, we should have, before marriage, what we call a prenup or a premarriage agreement, which basically sets things apart that says we're going to keep things separate and then we can leave our estates to our children and not be legally obligated to leave part of our estate to our spouse who survives us. And so now, if you don't have a prenuptial agreement, then you can, by mutual agreement, have a postnuptial agreement. In other words, you can have, in essence, the same agreement or a very similar agreement that's executed after your marriage. And I've, on many occasions, have had to advise a client to do that because otherwise there's no guarantee that your spouse would not take issue with your estate plan that leaves everything to your children and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm the surviving spouse. I'm entitled to a big portion of that estate. And then once it's in my hands, I can do anything I want to with it and leave it to my own children. And so it becomes who dies first as to what, you know, who's entitled to take. And so that's why a prenuptial agreement that wipes out those marital rights to take from your estate is so important. And then secondarily, and this is just as important, you should have a trust agreement to make sure two things. Number one, that if you want to do something for your spouse, you can. And oftentimes for some folks, that's what we call an income-only trust, where the principal will end up going to your children when your spouse dies. Sometimes it's a right to continue to live in the house without interference by either set of children, you know, that kind of thing. But it's all based on a trust agreement, which works well where you're trying to do something to take care of your spouse while also protecting the inheritance of your children. And so both of those things are really necessary to in essence, simplify a complicated situation where you're really doing what you want done for your family. And that's what estate planning is all about. It's so that what you want to happen will actually happen. You know, when a person doesn't have a good plan in place, then the likelihood of what you anticipate will happen rarely will happen. So that's why good planning is always extremely important. And one of the things that a lot of folks, I think, don't take into consideration when they're looking at a remarriage circumstance is the fact that a premarital agreement is really, really important if you want your children to accept your spouse as a good thing rather than as a gold digger who's there to take their inheritance away from them. And maybe it's just psychological, but the fact is that I would think it would be very difficult for children to warm up to a new spouse if there's not a prenuptial agreement in place. So just something for folks to consider.
You know, again, there's options, and family dynamics play a big role in this, and understanding that no two families are alike. There's always some big differences there, and some are maybe a little bit simpler than others, but oftentimes there are dynamics there that we really do need to pay attention to, and that's why we're always saying that you should schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney, especially if you've never had your documents reviewed by one. You can go to wgalaw.com to schedule some time to speak with a member of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. wgalaw.com is also where you can go to register for their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, November 13th. If you want to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, as well as asset protection and trust planning, both of those are going to be in the form of a webinar in the morning and the afternoon of the 13th, and in the evening of the 13th, it's an in-person seminar with Bill Alexander at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, and this is going to cover legacy planning. If you would like to attend one, whether it's the seminar or the one of the two webinars, you can go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A short break and back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to find information about WG Alexander and Associates and their webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, November 13th. Click on the seminars button at WGALaw.com if you would like to register in advance to attend. It's free to do so. They cover long-term care assistance, asset protection and trust planning, and also legacy planning. Find more information at wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we're talking about estate planning and how often we want to keep things simple, but that's maybe not always the best case. And we just went over some examples related to second marriages and just how complicated things like that can get. What else do we need to know about?
Well, okay. So we've talked about situations with your spouse in terms of sometimes it's a second or third marriage, and other times it's diminished capacity or dementia or frailty, or just had never managed paying the bills or investing the property. Lots of different situations, or where Medicaid might be a need at the death of the first spouse. But let's now talk about the children, because, you know, oftentimes there are lots of issues with children. We hope not, but the fact is that a lot of families, and one in a very normal situation, is the fact we have minor children. Okay, so, you know, you're not going to have or you shouldn't have a plan that just says, I leave it to my three-year-old. I mean, now, if you think about it, if you don't have a will, and of course, you might be married, you might be divorced, or you might simply just be single, and you have a minor child. And so the fact is that, okay, you absolutely need a will or a trust. And with a minor child, yes, you should have a trust. You should appoint a guardian, you know, who's going to basically take your child and take care of your child or children. In other words, take them into their home, feed them, clothe them, force them to school, you know, make them study, the whole bit. Well, you need a guardian for that. And then who's going to take care of the money? And that's where you appoint a trustee. And I mean, how many of us want our child to receive their property when they turn 18. That could be the worst disaster of all. So most of us want our estate to stay in trust until our children turn to an age of maturity. And for a lot of folks, that's 25. For some, it's 28. For some, it's even older than that. But very few want their children to basically have control of any significant assets at all until at least age 25. And for that to happen, you've got to have a trust, whether it's in your will or outside of your will, but you have to have a trust to do that. And of course, this is where, do you really want to transfer it to a gift to minors act type of account? Absolutely not, because under those circumstances, the children normally get access to their property when they're 18 or 21. And that's, again, it's too darn young. And so for those folks who care about their children and to want to make sure that they're taken care of in the event something happens to you, then having an estate plan with a trust in place where you've selected the guardian, you've selected the trustee, someone who's reliable, who will take care of things, will take care of that. Now, there are lots of other issues when it comes to children, particularly if you have a child that is disabled. Obviously, a trust is needed there. Or if it's a special needs child, which of course tends to be a very complicated disability. But there are other issues too. If a child is a spendthrift, just doesn't know how to manage money and likes to spend it, the nickel is burning in their pocket, you know, that kind of thing. But you can take care of that with a trust. Or you might have a child that's married to a spendthrift, and that can be just as difficult. Or one who is in a difficult marriage, or one where you're just simply worried about the fact that they may be a statistic for a divorce later on. Well, you can take care of that with a trust. And that, a lot of my clients like asset protection, lifetime asset protection trusts for their children.
It's an option that we should all consider, and if you want to schedule some time to speak with WG Alexander and Associates about that, you can go to wgalaw.com, wgalaw.com. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to go to wgalaw.com. You can find information about the free webinars put on by WG Alexander and Associates, free webinars and a free seminar happening on Wednesday, November 13th. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, as well as asset protection and trust planning in the webinars and in the in-person seminar that evening. You can learn more about legacy planning. Again, go to wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button for all the information and details on the free webinars and seminar. There's no cost to attend. Again, learn more at wgalaw.com. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong. Thanking you so much for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.